I want us to start reading in verse number 5, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we are thankful for this day, thankful for this opportunity to be here. And I'm thankful for those that have come. And I pray, Lord, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, fill my mind and my mouth with the exact words that you want said. And Lord, I pray that all of us would have ears to hear, hearts to receive the message. Help us, Lord, to make the application that we need to make. And I do pray, Lord, especially if there's someone here today that's unsaved, that this day would be their day of salvation. And Lord, I ask that you please be with all of the prayer requests that have been mentioned today. So many people, Lord, that are sick and hurting and have needs. We lift them up before you and ask you to do what only you're able to do. And Lord, help us to be sure that we always give you the praise and the glory and the honor for what you do. And I pray this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We are neck deep in the Christmas season. And for true born-again Christians, this season or time of the year is about the fact that, as John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or as Paul said, it's about God being manifest in the flesh. So today and also next Sunday as well, I'm going to preach messages that are about the only real reason for the season. The message today is from right here in Philippians chapter 2, and my text is the verses that we just read, verses 5 through 11. The title for the message is taken from verse number 7, and that is No Reputation. No Reputation. And I realize this is not one of our traditional Christmas passages that we read or refer to when we're talking about the birth of Christ. But this passage of Scripture, as most of you know, is packed full of truth about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, this passage of Scripture begins really in eternity past and ends in eternity future. In just a few short verses, 7 verses, we go from everlasting to everlasting. And sandwiched in between those two, we have truth that has to do with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are three main truths that I want to bring out from these verses here today about our Savior. First of all, this morning I want to talk about the humanity of our Savior. I want to talk about the humanity of our Savior. If you look here again at the text, you'll notice it says in verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, notice, and was made in the likeness of men. It goes on to say in verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man. It said he was made in the likeness of men and found in fashion as a man. That speaks to the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, when he came, he was God. When he came, he did not lay aside his deity. As referenced already, Paul said he was God manifest in the flesh. So when he came that first time, he was God. And if you've ever read through the Gospels, which I hope you have, you see again and again his deity exemplified. You see it primarily in the miracles that he performed. He did things while on this earth that without question only God could do. So anybody that can read knows that when he came, he was God. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said to some people, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And he said, "I and the Father are one." So there's no question to a Bible believer about the deity of Jesus Christ when he came the first time. But also there should be no question in our mind about his humanity. He was the Son of God, but at the same time he was the Son of Man. He was God and he was man. I can't fully explain that. I don't really know anybody in the world, truthfully, who can fully explain that. But I do know that's what the Bible teaches. I know that he was God, but he was man. And as a man, he was made of a woman, the Bible says. He was made of a woman in the likeness and fashion of men. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible talks about how he was a partaker of flesh and blood, just like his brethren. So we have in the scripture the humanity of the Lord Jesus, and just like his deity is seen in the Gospels, his humanity is also seen in the Gospels. When you read the Gospels, this is what you see about the Lord Jesus. You see that he got hungry. There were times when he got hungry. You read in Matthew chapter 4 that after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, it says, and afterward he hungered. You also see it whenever he approaches the fig tree very early in the morning. The Bible says there he was hungry as he was returning into Jerusalem, and he approaches that fig tree to find something to eat and only finds leaves, but he was hungry. You find in the Bible that he got thirsty. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who asked the woman at the well for a drink of water. It's him hanging on the cross that cries out, "I thirst." He got thirsty. He was a man who got hungry. He was a man who was thirsty. He was a man who got tired. The Bible teaches us that he sat down on Jacob's well because he was wearied from his journey. We read in the Bible of a time when he's out on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and the Bible says he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. Now you read in the Old Testament where it says that God never slumbers and never sleeps. But then you find that Jesus Christ became so weary and so tired that he laid his head on a pillow and went to sleep. How can you explain those two passages? The only way it can be explained is that he was God and at the same time he was man. As God, he never sleeps, he never slumbers, but when he came here in his humanity, he got tired, he got weary, just like any of us do, and there were times when he had to rest. Then you see in the Bible that he experienced emotions just like us. He got angry. The Lord Jesus Christ got mad. How many of you know that? There were times when he got angry. The Bible says in Mark chapter 3 that he looked round about on some people with anger because of the hardness of their heart. Do you think he was a little bit put out whenever he went into the temple and found those people that were buying and selling, and he got him a whip and he drove those people out of the temple and flipped over the tables and ran out the animals? Don't you think he was just a little bit upset on that occasion? He got angry. He was also a person that wept. The Bible says this. The Bible says he was a man, listen, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A man that wept whenever he comes to where Martha and Mary are at the loss of their brother Lazarus. The Bible says, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. You find him weeping over the city of Jerusalem, over their destitute spiritual condition. He's a man who wept. He was a man who grieved on the inside. He was a man, according to the Bible, that was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is able to succor all those that are tempted, because he was tempted in all points, just like you and I are. I think we forget sometimes that he was a man. He was human. We're talking about his humanity. He was a man that knew what it was like to lose. A man that knew what it was like to hurt. A man that knew what it was like to grieve. A man that knew what it was like to see death and experience death. He was a man himself who actually died. He was a human. This is why we don't serve a God who is disconnected from his creation. Because our God, do y'all realize this? Our God chose, made the choice to step out of heaven and come down here and dwell on the very earth that he himself spoke into existence. This God chose to leave heaven and come down here and not only live on the earth he created, but be like one of the human beings that he created. He made that choice. This is why he's not disconnected. It's why he understands. You'll never be in a situation or a circumstance in your life where you can point a finger at God and say you don't understand. Because he does. He's walked where we walked. Or where we walk. He lived on this earth for a period of time. He understands all of the emotions, all of the feelings, all of the things that we have. He understands what it's like to become weakened in your physical body to the point that you have to lay down and rest. He understands what it's like to experience trials and tribulations. He understands what it's like to have people lie about you and backstab you and slander and all of the things that we have to go through. He understands that. Folks, he came down here and lived among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He lived down here, and all of those experiences and things that we have to deal with and go through in this life, the Lord Jesus Christ went through those things as a man. Talking about his humanity. Whenever you're tempted, just remember this, and we all get tempted, but whenever you are tempted, just remember the Lord Jesus Christ understands. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. We're talking about the humanity of our Savior. He became a man. He lived on this earth. We have a God. I don't know if it does anything for you. It does for me. Just in thinking about it, it helps me to know when I pray that I'm talking to a God who understands what it's like to be a human being living on this earth down here. That helps me when I pray. Isn't it good? Just think about this. Whenever you got something going on in your life, and you talk to somebody who has been through that same type of experience, isn't that different than when you talk to somebody about your problem who's never had your problem? Isn't that different? Isn't it good just to be able to sit down with somebody who's walked in your shoes, who's been there before, and be able to pour out your heart and them understand where you are because they themselves have been there? It's just different. It's just different than talking to somebody who doesn't know. That's why you need to be careful. We all need to be careful about insulting people and saying something like, well, I understand, when we've never been where those people are. Got to be careful about that. If you've never been where those people are, you really don't understand what they're going through. You don't know the emotion they have on the inside. You don't know what they're feeling. You don't know what it's like. You have no idea because you've never been there. But man, it is good when you can talk to somebody who has been there and you know that they do understand. Let me say something. That's how it is every time you talk to God. You're talking to somebody who understands. He knows what it's like to be a human, the humanity of our Savior. Here's the second thing I want to talk about. Not only the humanity of our Savior, but I want us to look in this passage at the humility of our Savior. The humility of our Savior. The Bible says in verse number 8 that he humbled himself. The one who was equal with God and was God of very God, according to the Bible, humbled himself, according to verse number 8. The humility of our Savior is seen, first of all, in this passage, in the life that he lived. The life that he lived. If you look at verse number 7, you'll notice it says that he made himself. Look at that. This wasn't a decision made for him. It was a decision he made for himself. Nobody forced this. Nobody forced him to come down from heaven and live on this earth down here. Nobody forced him to do the things that he did while he was down here. The Bible says that he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. This is the humility of our Savior in the life that he lived. He made himself. He took upon him. Do you understand this morning that he could have been born in any way he chose? I don't know if we think in our mind that the way he was born is how he had to be born. I'm talking about him being born in the environment that he was born in, but that's not the case at all. He could have been born in the most luxurious palace that existed on this planet. Y'all realize that? He could have been born anywhere he chose. He could have been born in the most luxurious palace in the world and had all the world proclaim him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He could have come in with all kinds of fanfare, such a great party and celebration. He could have been born just like that. And he could have lived the most extravagant life that a human being could possibly live. He's God. Come down from heaven to live on this earth. He could have lived a life that would have made the life Solomon lived look like nothing. He could have had anything he wanted, any way he wanted it, at any time he wanted it. He could have made everybody down here bow before him and serve him hand and foot the whole time he lived on this earth. He could have. But what did he choose to do? Bible says that he made himself of no reputation. That was a choice he made. You know where he's born? He's born in a stable and he's laid in a manger. You know what you do in a manger? You know what you have in a stable? You have animals in a stable. You feed animals in a manger. It's a feeding trough. No reputation. Whenever his mama's at the point where she's ready to give birth, they go to an inn there in Bethlehem. The Bible says there was no room for them in the inn. No room there. No room for the very one that created everything. No room. But folks, he made it that way. That was his choice. He chose to come in and be of no reputation, no famous person. Nobody shouting his name and applauding him other than just a handful of shepherds that were keeping watch over their flock by night. No reputation. In all of the days that he lived on this earth, you see where it says in verse 7, he took upon him the form of a servant. Instead of demanding that everybody serve him hand and foot, you know what he did? He served his creation. He made that choice to serve. This is his humility in the life that he lived. Jesus said the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The humility of our Savior. Just because, and here's just a practical thing to think about, just because you can do something or think you have the right to do it doesn't mean that you should do it. You need to think about that for a little while. Jesus Christ could have had it any way he wanted when he came, but he humbled himself, made himself of no reputation when he could have been. He took upon himself the form of a servant and served everybody instead of demanding that everybody serve him. That's his humility. How's your humility this morning in the life you're living? Do you look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and strive to be a person of humility? Is that the desire of your heart? Are you one of these kind of people that you hear about nowadays who's always trying to clamber up the ladder and get higher and higher and higher and get to the point where everybody's shouting their name and everybody's bowing down before them and applauding them and giving them trophies and throwing accolades and applause and all that stuff? That's the way most people live nowadays. Even in church now, you see this lack of humility demonstrated in people who get up and sing or play an instrument or preach or whatever. A lot of the people that are doing this is just doing it because they want the people out there to think something of them. You see a lack of humility demonstrated all over this world now. That is so un-Christ-like. You understand? Everybody's, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, I can tell you that he wouldn't do it the way a lot of folks do it now. I'll tell you that. All the arrogance and the pride of man, it is unbelievable. And let me just say this. Really and truly, no man on this person, as we talked about in Sunday school, has any reason to be arrogant about anything, because without God, we wouldn't even be here, friend. Here's the thing you need to wrap your head around. The one who actually had something to be proud of, the Lord I'm talking about, chose to make himself of no reputation. He actually had the right to be proud, to be exalted and lifted up when he came down here, to be worshipped by his creation, but he chose to make himself of no reputation. And then how dare us live our lives down here? We're the recipients of the grace of God. We're nothing without him, but we want the pats on the back. People crying out our name, applauding us for the things we do. Man, have I seen it through the years in Christian folk. Somebody do something for the church, and because the whole church doesn't give them a certificate and bring them up in front of the congregation and pat them on the back and say, look what they did. They get mad and, I ain't ever going down there again. Well, go to the house. That's how I feel about it. Go to the house. If all you want is to accolade, go somewhere else. That's not what it's supposed to be about in the Christian life. It's about exalting Jesus Christ and realizing we're nothing without him. The humility of our Savior. The life he lived. Here's another way his humility is demonstrated. That is in the death he died. Not only the life he lived, but in the death he died. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says in verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Y'all know he didn't have to die, right? He didn't have to. No man made him die. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. The whole world could have come together and tried, but if he hadn't allowed it, they wouldn't have put him to death, friend. He made a choice to become obedient unto death. He knew that was his Father's will, so he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. That's humility. Humility is when you can do a certain thing, but you know that that's not God's will for your life, so instead of doing what it is you want to do, you do what your Father in heaven wants you to do. That's humility, friend. When you could do this with your life, when you could go in this direction and have all these things, but you know that's not how God wants you to do. You know that's not what He wants. This is His will for your life. When you say, yes, Lord, I really could go over here, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I know you want me to do. That's following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humility. Notice this also. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It's seen not just in the fact that He died, but in the way that He died. He emphasizes it, even the death. He didn't just die any kind of death. You know what death He died? The death of the cross. What's so big about that? Well, I mean, besides being one of the most hideous, horrible, agonizing ways for a human being to die, it was one of the most humiliating, degrading, shameful ways that a person could die. And that's the death that He chose to die. He didn't have to. He could have died any way He wanted. Could have not died. But He chose to die, and He chose to die the death of the cross. The Bible talks about how He endured the cross, despising the shame, the humiliation of it all. Him hanging out there naked as a spectacle in front of all of those people, and on top of that, the Bible says He was numbered with the transgressors. He's got two legitimate thieves, one on His right, one on His left. He's hanging there as a common criminal, guilty of some crime, when in reality He was guilty of no crime. What a horrible, shameful way to die. But that's the death He chose. That's the death He accepted. The humility of our Savior, the life He lived, the death He died. Here's one last thing that I want to talk about. Not only the humanity of our Savior and the humility of our Savior, but last of all, I want to talk about the high exaltedness of our Savior. Praise the Lord. His story didn't end with the cross, amen? That's just part of the story. Thank God that's not the end of the story. The Bible says in verse number 9, wherefore, what for? What you just read in 7 and 8. Because He became obedient. Because He died the death of the cross. Because He humbled Himself. You know what God did? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. The Bible says those that exalt themselves shall be abased. Those that abase themselves shall be exalted. We get this thing all messed up. In the Bible, the way up is down. In the Bible, the way you get the crown is you bear the cross. You understand that? Us human beings, we mess everything up, don't we? If you want a mess, all you got to do is turn it over to man, and we'll make a mess out of it every time. Let me say this to you right now. You better listen to what I'm saying. You may think I'm ignorant. I'm telling you right now, the only good that man ever does is because God helps him do it. If God steps back out of the equation and just lets man handle it, I'm going to tell you what we'll do every time. We'll make a mess out of it. The only good we ever do concerning anything is because God helps us and enables us to do that. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. How high? His high exaltedness is seen, first of all, in the name He was given. The Bible says God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name, look at it, which is above every name. His name is above every name. Every name of the past, every name of the present, and every name of the future. His name is above every name. The greatest name in human history. When this whole thing is said and done, when God wraps the whole thing up and you take all of the names of all of the people that have ever lived or ever will live on this planet, there'll be one name that'll stand above them all. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. That name is above every name. And look at this about the name in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Whether it's in heaven, whether it's on this earth, or it's under the earth. Whether it's people already in hell right now. Demon spirits locked up in hell right now. People walking around on this earth. Folk that are already up in glory. Angels, seraphim, cherubim, whatever's up there. One day you understand that every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. The high exaltedness of our Savior. Every knee will bow. Then it's seen not only in the name he was given, but in the confession that will be made. Look at verse number 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He goes from a lowly servant of no reputation to one day being proclaimed by every tongue as Lord. That's the high exaltedness of our Savior. Because he humbled himself, he was exalted. And one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. That's every knee and that's every tongue. The ones that have lived in the past, the ones that live now, the ones that live in the future, that hate the Lord Jesus Christ, that blaspheme that worthy name by which we are called, that will not acknowledge his lordship while alive on this earth, that say, I'll never bow my knee, I'll never confess with my tongue, all the atheists and the agnostics, the God haters the world over, my friend, there's coming a day out in eternity future where every one of them's going to get down on their knees. Not just one knee, friend. That Bible says every knee shall bow. They're going to get down on both of their knees in the presence of a thrice holy God, and they're going to utter with all the conviction they can muster up, my friend, Jesus is Lord. Amen. That's the exaltedness of our Savior. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning thankful to be here, thankful for the privilege and the honor to sit in church and to be able to sing these songs, these hymns of faith and inspiration, and most of all to be able to listen to the Word of God. And Lord, I pray you'd take your Word, you'd burn it deep into our minds and our hearts and help us to always remember that you are Lord. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.